You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
The one you came to see, ladies and gentlemen, the one, the only, Miss Judy Gold.
Selfie, the words that they add to the dictionary. That you can play on Scrabble. I sound like an old, but it's just
fart.
Yeah. P-H-A-R-T. Fart.
You know, I hear this and I agree with. I feel as though for my age, I too am old fashioned. Maybe that's because
I have to correct your grammar often.
You do, but you're right. Also my dad, which is probably why. Yeah. You know, I grew up with more knowledge than
she don't care.
Right.
You know, more and more respect for things that are more of the natural world and, you know, as part of our communication with each other and our existence together. Right. So I understand the disconnect, you know, with the technology and everything. I think that's a big part of it.
Oh, but God, I also...
It's such a double-edged sword.
Read.
So
yeah,
I mean, I think, you know, but everyone always says, the new stuff is the worst. Remember the old stuff? I just think you got to take the good.
There is some good, but it's just, it's ridiculous that if someone writes, you're my favorite comic, and writes in Y-O-U-R, I cannot.
You're right.
It's like someone said, I'm a conservative Republican.
It seems
it happens
every 5 days.
Right.
But contractions were once an abomination of.
Oh, please.
Language, weren't they? Contractions?
I don't know. I'm having contractions
over
this.
There is a danger that has to be insisted on in the face of the people who say it doesn't matter if you get your meaning across. Mm-hmm. Well, it does, partly because you may get a different meaning across because you misuse the word. And letting our own language go, and Americans are only worse than Americans are the English with foreign language. It's hopeless for us, seemingly. Every time you hear heinous by a judge for heinous, or the one that's beginning to, people claim they haven't heard it, anti-Semitic has now become the pronunciation of anti-Semitic. And I don't know why. Among Jews, or as Jerry Lewis said, we must say about them, Jewish people, because Jews is insulting.
Right.
This was picked up by the great Jonathan Miller in Beyond the Fringe in the sketch where the two working class guys said, you know, Jonathan Miller over there is a Jew.
Right.
And later Jonathan, the spotlight on him, just about to leave the stage, says, I'm not a Jew, I'm Jewish. Not the whole hog.
I just read... on dictionary.com, because that's how nerdy I am, that I...
The word of the day?
No, it was an article on irregardless, because that is one of my... I cannot...
And
that would mean the opposite, because it's two negatives.
Mm-hmm. As with nuclear...
Yes, oh, nuclear.
Who our alleged president made popular so much...
Nuclear,
that it is now... easing into acceptance on one or two or three use websites because people get it so wrong that it's common.
Right. And then they just get lazy and that's the end of it.
Isn't that how vernacular and slang is? I mean,
I don't know. What about...
Well, then there's hopefully misused. Mm-hmm. And if that were what hopefully meant, you would say hopefully he will despair.
Right. Mm-hmm.
He will despair in a hopeful way.
Right.
Or literally...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Everyone says literally.
Literally. Oh, that was a great cartoon. Did you see that? George something literally died, 1942.
Oh,
The New Yorker. And nuptial for nuptial.
Right.
And
Wait.
Do you want to hear the
difference? What is it? I think I say nuptial.
It's nuptial, N-U-P-T-I-A-L. Do you want to hear the dumbest thing that was ever said on a talk show? That's pretty extreme, right?
Yes.
And you might not.
And we're talking all talk shows. And
let's say you want to hear something really
all
dumb. A famous actress that I will only tell you afterwards because she may be still alive said to Johnny, we just came back from Japan and you've got to go there. They've got an architecture that won't quit.
Oh, my God.
How could I know you were going to say that?
They've got an architecture that won't quit.
I'm trying to picture an architecture quitting.
Wow.
It's hard.
I mean,
I
so that
get
means
it. She's speaking more essence-y.
No, that is doesn't make any sense, Lauren. What are you talking about?
That's the
an
best
architecture
thing
that won't quit?
It's like an ass that doesn't quit.
It's like ridiculous. What the fuck does that mean?
If I brought you a box of chocolates and you said, "Wow, this box of chocolates won't quit,"
right?
It would be the same.
Right,
thing.
Exactly.
And what about? My all-time favorite, mischievous.
Uh-huh.
Mischievous.
I don't like that.
You can't spell, obviously. You can't read.
Right.
It's mischievous, and it will always be mischievous.
Right.
And who
is... Okay. Wait, I have to ask you about one.
Okay.
My partner says pedophilia. And I say pedophilia.
I wouldn't be surprised if the British say that. Jonathan Miller, the great Jonathan Miller, one of the four best talkers ever in the history of the world. Mm-hmm. I did five PBS shows in a row with him. And he happened to be on the day that Kansas decided to revise not teaching evolution.
Right. Oh, please.
I've hit one of your buttons.
What the fuck? Those people should not be able to take advantage of
breathing.
Yeah.
Of vaccines.
Right.
Anything that science has
created.
Mm-hmm.
But it's science just won't quit. You know?
won't quit.
It hasn't even tried to quit.
I know.
Jonathan, I remember among the things he said, of course, you can almost imagine, was, and then you'll get this constant reply that that evolution is merely a theory.
Right.
The theory of evolution is like saying the theory of gravity.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
But he pronounced it evolution.
Right. Evolution.
Yeah.
Listen, I can't fucking deal with those people. I cannot...
No.
Mm-mm.
There's something wrong. Going on.
It's brainwashing and family. Yeah, fucking.
Okay.
Family fucking. I'm losing all my words. Incest.
We have them for you.
Fucking.
Thank you. Yes, you do.
I did like hearing Donald Trump say the other day, reminding us that we are 27th among nations in education.
Mm-hmm.
Can't fight that. Even Donald Trump can be right about that.
That is... abhorrent.
Oh, not abhorrent.
No. Abhorrent.
You said whore.
Abhorrent.
Donald Trump said that, and it does point to the... It's horrendous.
It's incredible.
We're 37th in what?
Class.
Perhaps.
Class.
Yeah.
Class.
What went wrong?
Class. In class.
Why do we have third world highways?
Bridges falling down.
Well, you they need to keep us contained somehow.
Did you see the Tappan Zee Bridge?
Yeah,
They're building another bridge next to it.
Yeah.
Because the Tappan Zee is
going to fall. Yeah.
There's a 30-mile stretch in this modern country between here and the end of Long Island.
Right.
Where you cannot read a book because every join of the pavement... Bum, bum, bum,
oh,
bum,
yes,
bum,
yes,
bum.
Yes.
You think you're crossing railroad tracks the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And this is America. Who wrote that piece in the Times years ago? One of the top opinion people or editorial, who said, woke up in a gorgeous hotel in Hong Kong, went over to China on a beautiful boat, took an on-time train to the airport, which was beautifully appointed, and everything worked, and the flight was great, and the food was wonderful, and so on, and landed in America. at Idlewild. Does that date me? The disaster of LaGuardia, which is a pigsty of an airport.
But also, make it. I'm 6'2". Okay, I was 6'3", but I shrunk.
Don't rub it in.
But let me tell you, I could not get on that horse. That's all I have to say. Okay, but what? They're making the seats smaller. You have to pay to bring luggage. What the fuck is going on?
Yes. And some bloated pig sits next to you and takes up one third of your room.
Mike Huckabee. Now,
oh, that one.
Yes. Unfortunately, we have to. No, but we don't really have to. But I wanted to, we always ask every guest.
Uh-oh.
What medications they're on. And now I will tell you what I'm on.
I'm on the Maharishi's meditation. Mm-hmm. Oh, did you say medication?
I said medication.
I know. You don't know when I'm applying traction to your tibia.
Yes, I understand. It's only one letter different.
Yeah,
meditation.
It is.
Medication.
And by the way, it was misunderstood on a show of mine once, and somebody said, I don't need to tell you that. And
really?
They were talking about, the person meant meditation, and
right.
They took it to be medication. Do you remember the Maharishi Mahesh Yogi?
Yes.
The one whom the Beatles adored and was
yes.
their guru until they found a young lady performing a specialty on him.
Ashley Madison.
There are those who say that never happened.
Right.
Apparently McCartney denies it, and I would take his word,
right.
certainly. But I had
He has hair that just won't quit.
It started to quit one day.
Right.
And he
stopped it from quitting.
I'm so glad
Bonus.
You dig that as much as I do. You've got an architecture that won't quit. Not even just won't quit. That kind of spoils it. That architecture that won't quit.
It just keeps going.
Failing to quit. It doesn't bring an image to
mind
right away. The Maharishi was a lovely old coot. My magician friend Doug Henning called me a day before the Maha was on and said, you're going to meet the most enlightened man in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And he was quite lovely, and he wore his white linen on a freezing cold day, a little scarf, and everyone around was amazed who traveled with him. But I had an issue, and I'm being very sick of that word. I had an issue with him, which was, isn't meditation costing $275, I think, for the first session, like, and now this phrase has lost its meaning, isn't it sort of like selling water? Now, in those days,
right,
we didn't
of course,
sell water.
Exactly, yes. Mm-hmm.
And I elaborated by saying, I can teach someone to meditate. There we did it.
Right.
In 5 minutes.
Right.
Why do you...
And what about you have to pay $5,000 to get a mantra? And that you can't tell anyone for transcendental meditation.
There's a mentalist magician
I
know who could tell you your mantra.
Really?
Mm-hmm. As a magician, I'm not allowed to tell you.
Okay.
But I will anyway.
All right.
He researched and found that at the meditation and mantra issuing place, as the late Dayton Allen would say, in the doctor teaching place, you don't remember Dayton. He found that this one in Cleveland is assigned to give this mantra, or this section of it over
right.
here is assigned to give Shalom, and this one
right.
is Andri, and
right.
so on. And he got access to those, got those people in a session, and said, wait, your mantra, Shalom.
Oh, that's...
Isn't that genius?
Oh, I love that.
It's like Uri
And
Geller.
They were probably...
Yeah. Shattered stuff.
Yes.
Mm.
I did say to the Maha in one of my fractious moments, because he was so sweet, it was almost getting sickening, would you have shot Hitler?
And?
There was, from the
Right,
audience.
Great question.
He had a wonderful answer.
What did he say?
He had a laugh that wouldn't quit either.
Right.
I would have taught him to meditate. That's an exact imitation.
He would have taught him to meditate?
Yeah. Now, it's not as
that
good
would have helped.
It's not as good as my imitation of James Mason, but it's pretty good.
I often thought Hitler should have dropped acid or done something to get out of his head.
Who knows?
Maybe. Oh, God. Now we're talking about Hitler.
Yeah.
All right, so you're not going to tell me what meds you're on.
Yeah, I take lithium.
Oh, I was on that, but I got all bloated and retaining.
Well, I'm sucking in a gut right now.
No, I did that during
I never had that reaction.
I was on that when I had my big clinical...
Dropout.
Which really changes your entire life.
Dropout is...
To be able to experience that and come out of that. But you never truly come out of that because the fear of it happening
again. The fact that the curtain will descend again.
Right.
Yeah.
Is always there.
Yeah.
It just doesn't quit.
And it happens.
Right.
It doesn't quit because it won't quit.
Right. It won't
quit. We can agree on that.
Yeah, it actually doesn't quit.
See Stephen Fry on this subject.
Mm-hmm.
In many cases, including a two-part documentary that I'm shocked that you haven't seen.
Oh, the depression.
Yeah, depression.
Yes, yes, yes.
Bipolar.
Yes.
Confessions of a Bipolar.
Right.
And he comes to the conclusion, after going all over America and England and other places, forgive me if she's listening, Debbie Reynolds' daughter is...
Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, a dear, dear friend of mine.
Right.
I think he ends the second one with her, and then he concludes, controversially, that he would not trade his manic episodes, lose them, in exchange for suffering the depression, because all of his best stuff.
Right.
I don't know if you're ever lucky to get... I was only hypomanic, meaning obviously undermanic.
Right. I was hypo.
But I felt great. I couldn't be killed. I could drive with my eyes shut. I could sleep 3 hours and feel I'd wasted the night. And then those things for the bipolar, which libido is the first victim, ability to read eventually.
Oh,
is gone.
That.
You can read a paragraph 8 times and not tell what was in it. Except you can read a book on depression.
Yes.
Oh. With absolute clarity.
Right.
A thing I said about it on, I think, Larry King, and I'd forgotten saying, and so many people have said afterwards, meant the most to them as people, sufferers, was, and I was sitting there looking at a table a little ways away, and I remember saying, if there were a magic wand over there on that table that would cure you, and this will be hard to understand, it would be too much trouble to get up and go pick it up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you did, it wouldn't work for you, even though it had cured 10 million people, because your brain is busted.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell that it's gone. And people said, Jesus, that really said it for me. I don't know why that...
But I couldn't get up. I couldn't... I woke up one morning...
Well, that's the other part. You can't.
You can't.
Right.
If someone had said to me, can you go to the bodega across the street and pick up a gallon of milk?
Or I'll die.
Or I'll die. I couldn't. I couldn't. I was...
You're asking a woman with no legs to dance.
It's terrifying.
Yeah, that's awful.
And
then you'll feel guilty about it the entire time.
Well, the guilt, I did have a lot of guilt because I felt bad for my kids.
So,
but the greatest part, I mean, I it was such a learning experience, and I do hope I don't experience that again. But my kids, who have an incredible sense of humor, Henry, my older son, you know, you can't win an argument with him. And so after the depression, one of his favorite lines was, you know what, Mommy? You were so much nicer when you were depressed.
Oh, wonderful. Boy,
because, you know, I didn't talk, and I was like, okay.
Give that kid a tact award.
Yes. So that was a good one.
Do me a favor. Go to HuffPost Live. Dick Cavett, Stephen Fry, because this is our main subject on that appearance, as it turns out. It's also a very funny appearance. But one of the things that comes up best in it is, he said, people who say, what have you got to be depressed about? You're popular. You have money.
Right.
You
yes.
You've succeeded.
Yep.
You have the admiration of your peers, et cetera, et cetera. not et cetera, please.
Yes.
Et cetera. Isn't it awful when you
the
get
king
to
of
like
slang.
Someone?
Wait,
can I say mastectomy? That's another one that fucking pisses me off.
With because it's about a mass.
It's mastectomy.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
It's awful when you get to like someone and
yeah.
then suddenly they say mastectomy.
Mm,
and
I
you
know.
Have to write them off forever.
Right.
But where was I? Oh, Fry, what have you got to be depressed about?
Mm-hmm.
I got it a lot. Imagine, you have a talk show. You're
right, right, of course.
And he said, well, the only answer to that is, what have you got to have asthma about?
Right. And
what have you got to have
yes.
AIDS about? What have you got to have chickenpox about?
Right.
What have you...
As if you can just control it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
It's... That's why it's
so misunderstood.
And
it's
as
so,
if saying that to you will help.
Right.
No.
No, well, you
right.
don't understand. You don't get the deep... It's so beyond deep and... I don't know.
That
I know.
Was very vivid how you described that feeling of I can't get up and cross the street and
right.
get the milk. So I remember thinking during one of those... If the building were on fire, would I be able to get
yes,
it?
Yes, yes.
I'm not sure.
I wasn't. And I would think back, oh, I've traveled all over by myself, mm-hmm. even before there were cell phones, to mm-hmm. gigs and rented cars and didn't know where the hell I was. But and here I am. I cannot get out of a chair.
And let me ask you this. Why do people say that all through the
yes.
me? Just say it. Nobody's stopping you from asking
it.
It
builds
Let me say
attention.
This about that. Clinton always said that.
Yeah.
While he thought what he was going to say. the thing where you... Oh, what's the best way to put this? I lost part of my thought. Don't you hate that?
Once oh, never happens
30,
to me.
Oh, yeah, here it is. I have
okay.
recovered it. What do you have to be depressed about leads to when you are depressed and have to do a show.
Oh!
No one should have that visited upon them. How did you do it?
Well, I had diurnal depression. So when the sun went down, I would feel some relief.
Took me a long time to realize that. It's better in the evening.
Right. Mm-hmm. So much better. And I realized that after my depression, I realized I've always felt like that. I've always, when the sun goes down, I'm like, whew. And... I'm more creative. I don't know if it's because the day is over for every... I don't know.
It's the phrase, that's over, but
right.
what is it?
Yeah. I don't know. But I did... It was hard to write. It was... I felt like I wanted to say, do you have any idea how how I feel. You don't know how I feel. Yeah, it's so
hard. If you
hard.
Knew what's in here.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, if you could come in there
right.
and just, like, you wouldn't take it personally.
Right, and I
yeah.
used to, you know, at night when I'd walk around, you know, I could leave or whatever, I remember looking at people, what does that feel like? What does it feel
mm-hmm.
like? What does it feel like? You're just, so you can just go mm-hmm. to work and then come home and have dinner and watch a movie and go to bed, and like that's
yeah.
fine, and you're fine. You're not. I still do that.
And then you can't help being annoyed with people who say, "Well, go out and play tennis,
right?
Or, hey, pull your socks up,
right?
You do your work. Come on,
right.
Christ, what's this laziness about?"
Right.
On and so on. And I told Stephen Fry that I remember a moment where I looked at the monitor while
mm-hmm.
taping the late night ABC show,
mm-hmm.
and there are two people on the screen in relative close up,
mm-hmm.
me and Ethel Merman.
Oh!
And we are
Yo,
singing.
Yo, bass, well. Yeah.
Sing out, Louise.
You just ruined the mic.
I know.
Sorry.
And there, and Ethel is singing her
right.
without warm-up. She never warmed up.
Wow.
And I'm going.
Everything she sang was a warm-up.
I look like Hepburn who does it.
yeah.
And I thought, there I am, allegedly laughing. If they could know what I feel
right.
like. And Stephen wrote back. That rang a bell, of course, how many times I have stood on stage, for example,
mm-hmm.
and laughed and smiled to those about me and felt like roadkill.
Well, and I've gone to shows and panel shows and had to speak, and I just want to say you have no clue what's going on inside of here.
Mm-hmm. Is there any chance they can see what's
right.
in me? Mr. Marlon Brando.
Mm-hmm.
One of my digressions, or whatever. I was in the new Otani Hotel in mm-hmm. Tokyo, and I was doing Aikido at the dojo there.
Right.
Oh, cool.
And I was visiting Brando after he'd been on the show.
Oh, yes,
and,
Brando.
I came back to the new Otani and got my messages.
Mm-hmm.
The lady at the desk said, "You have a message from Mr. Jack Rollins."
Jack mm-hmm. Rollins. Jack Rollins, the manager.
Yeah. Mr. Davidson, someone Davidson,
mm-hmm.
and from Jesus Christ to Marlon Brando. I had four messages.
Right.
But we were up in his house at the top of Mulholland mm-hmm. Drive,
mm.
where he's one up from Jack Nicholson, mm-hmm. literally. Is that? And Jack Nicholson made that immortal remark, "When Brando dies, everybody moves up one."
I love that.
That's awesome.
Anyway, we talk about depression, to which he was no stranger.
Right.
I'll try to make this in a minute and a half. I said, I taped a show with Laurence Olivier in England. It was wonderful, 90-minute show. Back in America, years later, on my PBS show, I go to the Wyndham Hotel, and Lord Olivier, as he now was, mm. and Joan Plowright mm-hmm. are my guests.
Oh, God. Oh, my God.
I show up at the Wyndham. Somehow I got dressed.
Oh, yeah.
Got a cab. Got into the lovely Wyndham. Got into a suite set aside for me to prepare in. And all I could think was, Jesus Christ. Larry, as he makes you call him, Olivier, is upstairs, and I don't give a shit.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Right.
I want to be under the rug in my
right.
apartment.
Right.
Hauled my ass up to the room. Halfway through, I just thought, my then producer would come over and say, "Dick, it's all right. We'll stop now. You're taking 8-second pauses, which is mm-hmm. a lot between sentences,
right.
and you don't seem to know. And you look at that cue card, but you don't seem to be able to know what's on it," mm-hmm. which is how I felt. And I told Brando this, and he said, "Did you finish the show?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Have you ever looked at it?" I said, "Are you kidding? Look at it."
Mm-hmm.
I remember sitting there thinking, these are intelligent, sensitive people.
Right.
Freakishly, more than the average human. They know I'm nuts.
Right.
They know my eyes are mad.
Right.
But I did him the favor. I dragged it out, and I looked at it, and I was fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
I didn't take pauses.
Right.
My eyes even sparkled
right.
a little.
You're, because you're, that's your double-edged sword.
Right.
You are, you're the real thing.
Yeah, and my
you didn't learn this.
Whatever is mysterious, boy, believe me. And I, next time I saw him, I said, I looked at that show. How'd you like it? I said, I was fine. How did you know? And he said, we all have it, automatic pilot.
Yep, mm-hmm. exactly.
And we agreed, it's not you who's out there doing a show in this way.
It's
mm-hmm. the you that
right.
performs.
Right.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
And that reminds me of once taking my perhaps favorite actor, Trevor Howard,
mm-hmm.
back from lunch at a live last Playhouse 90 in the world, trivia point, was mm-hmm. done in New York. It was called The Hiding Place, and mm-hmm. it starred Trevor Howard, James Mason, and Richard Basehart, and Helmut Dantin, the Nazi of all my war
right.
movies. And I went to lunch with Trevor Howard, who had broken his leg and so was drinking a little more than usual.
Right.
And for lunch, he had the following menu: 3 beers and 2 martinis. And I thought, I've got to get this
right.
man. A waitress patted him on the head. And he said, "Oh, darling." Everybody else had left the booth. I walked him back to the studio, and I thought, what am I going to do?
Right.
There were no cell phones. I
right.
couldn't call ahead. And I said, "Mr. Howard, there was going to be a full run-through before
right.
the live show. Do you, are you all right? I mean, is there anything I can...
Right.
And he said, oh, I know, dear boy. It's all right. The chap I'm playing isn't drunk.
No.
Totally.
Wow. I know. It's like I've had 102 fever.
And not that, on the air.
Right.
I know.
Not on stage.
Very so hard.
Do you guys,
to
when
explain.
You're on stage or performing or doing something, do you kind of go in a blackout a little bit?
I go. I'm in another.
It's like, a weird,
it's like
to another place where you.
Where that's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's another dimension.
Yeah. It's not even.
God.
It's organic. Mm-hmm. It's not even that I have to think about it. It's that.
You're cursed with this.
Well, before I hit bottom and had to go to Neuro 12 at Columbia Presbyterian.
What's Neuro 12?
I remember
12?
Sitting at, well, it's no longer there, but it was a place where they put people with depression and some. Actually, a locked door and red light and everything. I remember thinking, I don't think I can bring myself to laugh at what this person is clearly saying that will be a punchline. Mm. Oh, it's time.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. It's too much to ask.
And it's like you're, yeah.
But you can't quite say, I'm sorry, I have to go home.
Right. Mm-hmm. I'd be sometimes like shaking, and you couldn't breathe. And I remember.
As someone said, the worst agony devised for man.
Mm-hmm. Beyond.
And you don't need to add woman, because man in that sense means mankind.
Right.
Yeah.
And you know what? You know something about mankind?
What's that?
It runs out of time.
It doesn't quit. It does not quit, Dick Cavett.
It won't quit. I know. I'm that way right now.
Dick won't quit.
I want to ask you, who's the worst schmuck, male or female, you've ever dealt with in show business? But I so hate most questions.
Right.
Like, who's your favorite guest? Who's been your most interesting guest?
Oh, I can't that shit.
Come on. I can tell you who won a race.
Right.
I can't tell you whether Groucho, Orson Welles, Weapon of Mass Destruction, or Fred Astaire are the greatest guests. But you may have an answer.
I don't have. I mean, there are people.
I don't really.
Who have, you know, shaken my inner core.
Yeah.
But
didn't stomp on it all over.
Right, right. But I don't know what that is that makes you keep going. I just won't quit.
Yeah.
Does anyone stick out?
Perhaps
to you
by besides? Technically. Sorry.
No,
technically. You could call her the most famous comedian in the world, even now, in some ways, because the show, the sun never sets on her show somewhere in the world. And every time I asked before PC forbade us to say stewardess, a flight attendant.
Yes.
That I would always ask, and 26 times I stopped counting, getting the same name every time, but the worst.
No way.
Celebrity you dealt with on the plane.
And it's a comedian.
She loved me, so she did all kinds of... She told Bill Paley to put me on instead of Merv Griffin late night at one point before.
So this is a very well-known comedian.
Yeah, and to have that side that said... I said, was she... Give any example. And say, well, she'd be with her... companion, her secretary, whatever was sitting next to her. Would you like a cocktail, Miss? I almost said it. Tell her I don't drink on the plane. She wouldn't.
Oh, my God.
She wouldn't address the underling. So strange.
And was on your show many times.
Yeah, including she's on my Hollywood Greats DVD.
We'll be looking that up right after the show.
That DVD.
So,
Judy, did we give away too much on this DVD?
No.
The list includes, to allow for my leaving somebody out, all of Katharine Hepburn, Betty Davis, Fred Astaire, Groucho Marx, Alfred Hitchcock, Frank Capra with Mel Brooks and Orson Welles, the great Robert Mitchum, and Marlon Brando. And I've left out two or three. They're all on there. And yes, she is among those.
Yeah, all right, so everyone check check out Hollywood Greats DVD.
But it doesn't matter. It's, the interesting thing is, why should a huge, successful star... But you know what we're saying when you say that.
Right.
What have you got to be nasty about?
Right, right.
You're
right,
famous and beloved.
That's her mental
illness.
Yeah,
but it's about
different.
Treating... No, I'm sorry.
No, it does.
You don't treat people... No one's better than you.
Well, she
I mean,
is
you're not better than anyone else.
She's acting personally.
Really.
She's... Lashing out
she's
personally,
a,
though.
I don't know who it is, but I'm
going
to...
It's a sad thing. Started with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Worked her ass off.
Yeah.
Had a dreadful marriage.
Mm. It's coming.
America's most favorite...
Sounds like my grand.
It was not the great Beatrice Lilly, who's mm-hmm. the funniest woman I ever saw in mm-hmm. my life. That's a clue. It's not Beatrice Lilly.
Right.
Have you ever heard her camp singing of... There are fairies in the bottom of our garden.
No.
A sweet little song that was a real song back in the 20s. What have you got there?
I'm writing something down.
Henry Kissinger?
No.
Oh. Yeah. Go to the head of the class.
Did I get that
you
right?
You did right. Well, you do everything right.
Mm. Oh, please. Mm. I figured it out. Good night.
And it was a nine-letter answer that you wrote mm-hmm. on the something like that. Anyway,
okay.
This is a good. I'm having a good time.
Will you come back?
Oh no. Oh no, that's asking a lot.
All right.
But I will return.
You
thank
won't.
You.
You won't quit.
I would love to have you and Stephen Fry on, and we could just talk depression.
Oh, we would do a show that wouldn't even know how to quit.
Right.
Mm. I don't know if he's not coming back right now for anything, but...
All right, whatever.
I would be happy to work that.
I love you, Mr. Cavett.
What?
Yes.
Oh, my God, now you tell me.
Yes, I think that you can change me.
It's not too late.
It's never too late.
Yes.
I loved you in Rocky Horror Show.
Oh, God. Now I love you even more.
Yay.
Thank you.
You know,
am I being too bold?
No, not at all.
I adored you.
By spilling your coffee.
No, spill my coffee.
Spilling your hand.
I adored you in Rocky Horror Picture Show.
You were there, too?
It's not Rocky Horror Picture Show. It's the Rocky Horror Show.
Oh, yeah, the Rocky Horror Show.
The Rocky Horror Show, yes.
The penultimate night.
Yes.
Here's another one. Not the last night, the penultimate night.
Mm.
I had the ill luck to reach into both pants pockets during one of my mm-hmm. improvised somewhat monologues and to look for a note that a woman had given me. I wanted to read to the audience. I don't remember. Mm-hmm. And a guy says, hey, Tech, are you playing with yourself?
Uh-huh.
And I, in that thing we were talking about, heard mm-hmm. myself say,
mm-hmm. right.
I've got people who do that for me.
Nice.
I love it.
A cyclonic laugh.
Right.
And all I could think of was we close tomorrow night. I could have at least had this guy come back one night.
Right.
Why wasn't he here opening night?
Right, of course.
He would have started a new a new callback.
Yeah.
I offended some people by saying to a snot-nosed little girl in the audience who was killing one punchline after another.
Oh, no.
I heard myself say, and the audience was getting mad at
it. Right.
You're so smart, you think. You know, that sort of wit.
Yeah.
Oscar Wildean
wit. Yes, yes.
A heckler.
Yeah.
I said, honey, I'm going to bitch slap you to the curb. I got an ovation.
Oh, no. Wow. I love it.
What's your favorite Oscar Wilde line? I'll tell you Stephen Fry's for no extra cost.
Oh, I have no idea.
Okay.
Go.
He humorously, when he first came to America and went out west and hung out with coal miners and they adored him and drank them under the table, as he'd be able to do to just about anybody. Oscar, not Stephen, who plays him in a brilliant movie. Anyway, stick to the subject, Cabot.
Cabot.
He was famous for saying
Cabot.
Things like the Atlantic Ocean proved not to be everything he had hoped.
Right.
He was at Niagara Falls, and they gave him a Wildean straight line by saying, Mr. Wilde, what would you say about Niagara Falls? And he pretended to think for a moment. He said, probably the second great disappointment in the life of an American bride.
Oh, I love that.
Well, you know, Oscar Wilde also said no great artist ever sees things as they really are. If he did, he would cease to be an artist.
Not bad, is it?
I'm glad you have your computer, Lauren, so you can
impress Mr.
Dick Cavett.
It goes
Cavett.
With what you were just saying.
You didn't do that from memory?
About depression about seeing yourself and not seeing yourself as an artist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's a marvelous line.
Now,
anyway,
I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for being here. This has been such an honor. I can't believe I'm sitting with Dick Cavett.
Oh, cut it out.
And
that's what I say about Groucho Marx, Orson Welles.
Oh, please. Well, that's what I say about you.
I would have been really impressed if you got an interview from Harpo Marx. Get it? Because he doesn't talk.
I'm very...
That's funny. That's like...
All right.
You know what, Lauren?
Okay.
I'm the host.
You're right.
I'm the host.
I'm really sorry.
He has interviewed Teller of Penn and Teller.
Yes,
I
put Teller on Mark Simone's show, and for about a week, Mark Simone was saying, Teller is going to come here and talk.
Right.
Like, Teller is one of the two or three best people I've ever met in the world. He is, as Stephen Fry, Teller was out at my house for the weekend during their break a week or so ago, and my wife said, I want him to stay with us. I wrote Stephen Fry, who was out the week before, I had written to Stephen, if you come a week later, you will coincide with Teller. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know if he knew him.
Right.
And he wrote back, I would be honored. I can't do it then. Teller is the menchiest of menches, and I must mention it.
Oh. Wordplay with Dick Cavett.
A jeu de mots, as they say. It would be hard to overestimate how good you are.
No.
Okay, well, how do you both think I feel right now with all y'all?
Like a piece of?
Like a piece of, exactly.
Like sitting, well, no, I can't do another Kissinger line. I almost met Harpo, and the thing, everybody liked Harpo. Everybody.
Uh-huh.
Well, he would molest everyone in a very loving way.
Once I took... Groucho hosted the Tonight Show in that awful stock company summer where everybody tried.
Right.
In the interval, Tell Johnny came on smartly, didn't come right back on.
Right.
And couldn't by contract. And I dropped my jokes off at Groucho's desk, humbly indeed, believe me. And I mentioned Harpo. I said, I wish I could have met Harpo. And Groucho said, Harpo inherited all my mother's good qualities.
Hmm.
It was very sweet. He teared a little.
Aww. Because
she didn't like Groucho.
Mm-hmm.
She called him Der Dunkle in Yiddish, the dark one. Because he went off and read books and
didn't
communicate and was awkward in certain ways socially and so on. But nobody disliked Harpo. Except Dick Cheney.
What a way to end. Now, Mr. Dick Cavett.
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have anything you would like people to watch besides the episodes that you have mentioned?
You gave us a lot of homework.
I know.
Yes, here's one. You know, there are certain people who have problems with alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
40 million Americans.
Right.
Don't let yourself miss on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what you will Google. Dick Cavett, Richard Burton.
Okay.
And it's also called Richard Burton Talks About Alcohol.
Okay.
In my fourth show with him, it was supposed to be but one show, and we kept going.
Right.
I had the courage, even as I wondered if I could mention Tracy to Hepburn.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, what the hell? Would you talk about booze? And there was a moment like this.
Yeah.
And Richard said something like, I think I've probably done enough on that subject publicly. And kind of demurred for a moment and held back. And I said, it might do good.
Mm-hmm.
I just had a hunch. Knew he might walk off, but I already had 309 shows of... He said, I will, if it will do any good, I will. And he goes into 5 minutes and 40 seconds that you will never forget.
Okay.
Stephen Fry, if that name came up before, said, that's the damnedest thing I've ever seen.
Okay, we have to do that, Lauren.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, over a bottle of wine.
Absolutely.
Or some tequila.
Some shots.
Yeah.
Or a blunt. Let's just...
No.
Okay.
I got him while he was sober.
Right.
I got him in a sober period.
Mm.
And was he eloquent on this subject? Ugh. It's chilling.
I cannot.
It's riveting. I don't think I could overpraise it.
Right.
Wow. I can't wait to...
The way Jack Parr would say to a young comedian shaking backstage, better be funny, pal.
Oh, that's the worst! Thank you for coming on.
I like being on.
I like you being on.
I'd be on anything with you.
Oh, I love you.
Wait a minute. What does that mean?
Don't tell Martha.
It's astounding.
Ladies and gentlemen, the amazing Dick Cavett. I cannot believe it. I'm over enunciating, but I can't thank you enough.
What if I said something just awful now? And destroyed all that.
That, you can't.
Okay. I love having your hand on my leg during
this. Oh, God damn it.
It still works, ladies and gentlemen.
Martha will say I shouldn't have said that.
I bet.
I'm going to go throw up now.
Okay,
Did you ever read Full Service?
Yes.
I just got around to it.
I have it on my.
You know, he's alive.
He is?
Apparently. There's no death date on things, and at the end of the book, he's 83.
Wow. Isn't that amazing?
Scotty Bowers.
Right.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Remember when it first hit?
Mm-hmm.
And in maybe the seventh page of New York Post,
right.
You'd see Hepburn and Tracy were both gay.
Right.
See Scotty Bowers' book.
Right.
Interesting book.
Thank you for being on Kill Me Now with Judy Gold.
Is that where we are?
Yes, that's where we are. you're a legend.
Oh, God.
In my mind.
How am I going to go home and face what I really am?
Oh, please. And next time, God forbid, I am in a state, I'd love to share with you my... We could sit in a room together.
Boy, could we.
Yeah, and we could just shake.
See if we could.
Or you guys can just be friends.
One another.
Yeah.
And
why can't we be friends?
Why can't you just be happy?
Yeah.
Yeah, just...
Just get over it.
Just go home and watch Sound of Music.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
I was going to see if there was
Speaking of one thing.
I instantly decided to... there's nothing that I... We covered a great deal of this,
good.
I must say. My complaint about Louis C.K. is that I can't see everything he's ever done twice.
Wow.
What a giant he is.
And a great person.
Is he?
Yes.
I locked eyes with him, I'm told by Martha once, way back at some dreary Emmy show or something.
He's the best. I was on the... season premiere this year. I played a lesbian. It was very hard, but I did it.
You must have studied
with
somebody.
I did. I studied with Uta Hagen.
You sang Uta Hagen?
Uta Hagen!
She was my neighbor in Montauk.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Did you see her in... Don't You Hate Senility?
No, not at all. I love it. Who are
the most
you?
Famous Edward Albee play that Burton did... What a dump.
What dumb. I'm sorry. No.
How can we be blank on it?
No. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Betty Davis.
Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
Yes.
See, all the plays that have Virginia Woolf.
All right, whatever.
You won that one.
The computer. Without the computer.
Uta Hagen was... I watched her teach a class once, and it was... And I will kill anyone who uses this word in my presence. Awesome.
Wow.
That's
I'm not going to say it.
Incredible.
That's
like awesome.
Phenomenal.
Right.
You know, it's like awesome.
Right.
Like.
It's so like awesome.
How did like and awesome infiltrate the entire language of the youth of this country?
Awesome.
It was surfers, California surfers.
And is that really the source? It might be Valley Girls.
Mm-hmm.
Martha says certain things have infested language from Valley Girl vocabulary.
The early 90s.
I don't know. Anyway.
Well, you're awesome. Thanks. And
I fished for
you
that.
You just don't quit. And I love you. And thank you for being here on Kill Me Now. Lauren is going to be on tour from October 9th on with Keith and the Girl, KATG.
No kidding.
.com. Yes, this other podcast.
.com/tour.
So, yes. And I'm going to be in Provincetown at the Art House. But this might air.
You're going to be in Ohio doing
Yeah, I'm doing Cleveland.
Questions.
No, I'm not going to be in Ohio doing 20. I'm going to go to Ohio on September 20th for a GLBT thing.
You're not putting this on the air.
Yes, and...
You're dead.
And I'm going to be in Toronto doing 25 questions for a Jewish mother.
Toronto,
yes.
That's right.
You can go to my website, jiggle.com.
/calendar.
I'll
tell you an awful story that you just triggered off the air.
Okay.
So we have something to look forward to.
Yes. Always something to look forward to with the amazing and brilliant Dick Cavett. Thank you. I cannot thank you enough.
And from the bottom and top of my heart.
I need an anagram for Kill Me Now.
Oh, if I'm assigned one, I can't
doesn't
do
work?
It.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll assign it to you.
Yeah, okay.
No, he said he can't do assigned ones.
Yeah, if somebody say, my name is Harold Crabslow, do an anagram on my name.
Right.
Oh, yeah, your brain turns off.
It's got to happen.
It's that thing we were talking about with Groucho and you and me and others.
Right.
It comes, and then I hear it.
Right. All right. Well, let me know. Let me know if it comes.
I've already said it.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. All right.
You are mental, both of you.
Thank you, Dick Cavett.
Ill Mickey. See, it's not a nonsense phrase that kills me.
Ew, Dick.
Ew, Mekon. Lemekon.
He's going to be obsessed with this.
Ew, Mekon.
Yeah. Kill Me Now, baby.
Betty and Jane Keane.
Yeah.
No.
Thank you. We'll be back next week with a not as
good
accomplished... guest.
Yeah, it's all downhill from here.
Yeah, pretty much.
Here's another thing that always irritates. May I say one thing to you?
Oh, I know.
No.
May I say one thing?
No, you can't.
And
share. I got so sick of that icky word from the Est movement.
Oh, I know.
And a
politician
said,
yes.
I have a story I'd like to share with you. And I said, no, tell us all of it. And the audience clapped to their credit.
Yes.
8 or 9 people.
Good job.
Anyway, I can't shut up.
I love that. Ladies and gentlemen, the incredible Dick Cavett. We will be back next week.
And we'll have him on again, hopefully.
And you're coming back.
You already
baby.
Said so.
I can be back. I'll be out of town for a bit.
All right, that's fine.
You're not comparable.
Writing that down, boss.
Oh, I love.
I'm just going to make some cards for you for when you're feeling low.
Thank you.
Okay. I love you.
I love you.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God, Martha again.
Martha, don't worry.
Martha, I love you.
I don't even know what to do.
Martha.
I mean, I could look it up, but I don't even know what I'm doing. It'll be the worst blowjob I ever got. Good night, everyone.
Call me Martha.
And everything was wonderful. I'll see you soon. Thank you for the visit. So long. Thank you.